It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
The current paradigm, our current reality, seems to many carved in stone, unshakable, permanent. This could not be further from the truth. Great challenges and change, as of yet unimaginable to most, are now perilously close. None of it will seem real until it is real, and it will come like a tornado in the night. Doubling down on denial, this is the overall societal trajectory we are on. Go along to get along. Collective cowardice. If the majority of society continues to behave in this manner, consider that mutually assured certain demise awaits us all on the current course. But amongst the sea of denial, some are swimming with all their might. Some are standing against the storm. Some see through the smoke and mirrors and the power structure orchestrated theater of the absurd. Completely scripted dramas on completely controlled mainstream media, completely distracting so much of the population, while a precious few have summoned their courage and are making their voices heard for the greater good at this most critical time in human history. To be clear, the fate of the human race and indeed of life on Earth hangs in the balance. To those that are still going about their lives hoping that somehow everything will magically work out, that someone somewhere is taking care of the problems that we face, the challenges that we face, and that our lives will somehow magically continue to go on as they are, please take a long look at the horizon. Please objectively investigate the frontline facts without bias, ideology, or preconception. This is not just an option. It's an absolute obligation for us all. In this edition of Global Alert News, the latest frontline breaking data, including a detailed report of the most recent earthquake and tsunami to slaughter Indonesia. Was this just the wrath of nature, or is there much more to the story? Data from internationally acclaimed science sources confirm what almost none are willing to accept. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for October 6, 2018. This commercial-free program is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, this reminder, always, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair, staunch ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering, fully stocked geoengineeringwatch.org booth at all Jim Fair events. Free materials. If you go to get those materials, tell them at the ticket booth, you'll be allowed in for free. Jim Fair doing everything they can, in spite of tremendous resistance, to help us sound the alarm, to help us expose and halt climate engineering. My deepest gratitude to the Jim Fair group. This week, started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Sacramento, California at the Scottish Rite Center. And for those, and we hear from people who somehow think because a certain facility is being used that they have some problem with that particular facility, that that has some reflection on the validity of Jim Fair and their efforts to help us sound the alarm. Please get over it. Please get over that. It's just a facility that's being used by Jim Fair to help do something for the greater good. If you're in the area, pick up materials, help us to sound the alarm. Makes no difference what facility that they happen to be at. That's just a facility that was available. Next week, Costa Mesa, California, at the OC Fair and Event Center. Very big Jim Fair event. Abundant free materials there. Show up, get materials, help us to sound the alarm. Make every day count. Another reminder on another event coming up at Arizona State University. A free viewing of Hacking the Planet with a Q&A, which I will be participating in via Skype, November 7th, 2018, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Check the website hackingtheplanet.org/events, hackingtheplanet.org/events. Reserve your seats early. Free geoengineeringwatch.org materials will be given out at that event. My thanks to those with Arizona State University that have organized this event. Final announcement. The upcoming Northern California geoengineeringwatch.org awareness and call to action event will occur on late afternoon and evening, Saturday, October 20th, at the Holiday Inn in Redding, California. Geoengineeringwatch.org will provide our most complete, comprehensive, and dire presentation to date. There will be an extensive public question and answer session after that, followed by a Making Connections session. This event is completely free. Free geoengineeringwatch.org canvas tote bags and awareness-raising materials will also be supplied to all that attend this event. Why is climate engineering so critical to investigate and understand? Because the ongoing climate engineering, geoengineering operations, aka solar radiation management, are mathematically the greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm. For those in the Shasta County area, there are free, two-sided, color-glossy event flyers packed with information at Orchard Nutrition. You can pick those up again for free there. Help us to circulate those. Help us to bring people into awareness on this most critical issue that has so radically affected so many, especially this summer in the North State. The wildfires can verifiably, scientifically, be most directly linked to climate engineering. Not climate change. Not that climate change isn't real. It's absolutely real. We've been horrible stewards of this planet. No rational person can deny that. But the intentional intervention in Earth's climate systems by massive covert global climate engineering operations are the single greatest causal factor for the wildfire epidemic that is sweeping the globe. And there are reasons for this. There are reasons that the wildfires are utilized by the climate engineers. It is shocking data, and I encourage anyone, especially those affected by the wildfires, attend this event and find out what you did not know, what none of us want to know, but what we need to know, what we must know, if we're to do any good toward turning the tide, toward exposing this insanity that is completely and totally out of control, that radically affects each and every one of our lives, not just destroying the biosphere, the ozone layer, the hydrological cycle, soils, waters, but rendering toxic every single breath we take. And when you look up and see the aircraft emitted trails that cover the entire horizon on many days, consider how much material it takes to do that. And every bit of that material comes down through the air column where we all get to inhale it. And is it any wonder that every conceivable human disease has gone epidemic that is directly related to the toxic heavy metals and chemicals that are primary elements in these programs that patents, government documents, Senate documents, science studies all prove are there? Find out what you didn't know. Attend this event. Doors will open at 4 p.m., 1 hour earlier than the official schedule shows. We want to have more time for people to meet and connect, circulate materials. So the doors will open at the Holiday Inn, October 20th, Redding, California, at 4 p.m. Hope to see you there. Censorship is worsening by the day. Search engines are now moving the geoengineeringwatch.org website, which was top on the list for Google, Start Page, and others. They're moving it to the bottom of the second page, tucking it out of sight, out of mind. Our site traffic, by the rules of the search engines, had us on the top of those lists, but they don't want the geoengineeringwatch.org website to be seen by people who search the geoengineering term. Now, tucking us back to the back of the second page, I salute the Bing search engine, who has still given us the proper ranking based on our site traffic. We are still the top of the page on a search for the term geoengineering on the Bing search engine. We'll hope it stays there. But censorship is absolutely real, absolutely getting worse by the day. People are unable to share our posts. We're depending on quote-unquote activists. If you're truly an activist, if you're truly trying to help us sound the alarm, help us to get our data out. And this is where the importance of a grassroots event like the event in Redding is so important, to pass on physical materials to arm people with the data they need to wake others up around him, data that can't be censored from the power structure-controlled social media sites. We should still use social media to the degree we can, but knowing that they are increasingly censoring us. And for those who work for social media, who are carrying out the bidding of the power structure, censoring data on which their very lives depend. If you work for social media and you're helping to censor this data, look in the mirror. Look your children in the eyes and ask yourselves what your purpose is, that you're literally facilitating your own demise and that of your children. Stop cooperating with the insanity. And the same instruction goes to those in agencies, media, all those that are facilitating the insanity. Because remember, it's not just those few clinically insane at the top of the power structure ladder. It's the legions of order followers that are carrying out their bidding. That's the true threat. Those at the top could not do what they do without those legions of honorless order followers. Don't be an honorless, unquestioning order follower. Do what you know is right while you can. So often I'm asked, who or how is all the government criminality and tyranny paid for? In the case of what is by far the most powerful and most out-of-control government in the world, the U.S. government, the endless funding comes from the fact that the U.S. dollar is the global reserve currency and the petrodollar. Countries must buy oil in dollars. What's that mean exactly to us? It means that the criminal cabal masquerading as the U.S. government can and is printing as many dollars as it wants for whatever it wants. Consider that the Pentagon is, quote, missing tens of trillions of dollars. Don't believe me. Please look it up. The data is there to confirm everything I state. I never ask anybody to believe anything I say, but I do ask you to verify it. So the Pentagon's missing tens of trillions of dollars that we know about. Where did so much extra money come from in the first place? Central banks run by private bankers, manufacturing as much money as they wish, literally out of thin air. This is the top of the food chain. Those that control the money, those that ultimately control militaries, which means they control countries. That is how the game is played. How long will it last? The biosphere implosion will ultimately dictate the demise of power structures and their criminality. There are already other wheels turning. Consider this new headline from Bloomberg and other sources. The tyranny of the U.S. dollar. Excerpt from that report. The incumbent international currency has been American for decades. Is it time for a regime change? Answer. From a global perspective, yes. Nations and populations around the world have had enough of U.S. hegemonic power. That was made possible by the U.S. enforcing the dollar as the global reserve currency at gunpoint, literally. This is one of the primary reasons why many nations have recently been intentionally destabilized by U.S. intervention, with puppet governments installed to ensure the U.S. dollar continues to be forced on the rest of the world, to ensure the central bankers can continue to rule the world with the U.S. military, which is larger than the next 10 militaries combined. But the days of the empire are numbered, along with the days that remain for the human race on the planet Earth, as biosphere implosion accelerates. We must change course. And does this mean that other countries and other governments are not corrupt? No, it does not mean that, and I never said that. I don't support any other governments. I'm not a fan of other governments either. What I'm saying is the corruption is in direct proportion to the size and strength of the military machines involved, U.S. military bigger than the next 10 combined. That's a massive red flag, as Eisenhower warned us about so many years ago. Question, how desperate is the power structure? What cards are they willing to play at this late hour? The truth is almost impossible to believe. Follow me through with these dots. I will connect them as I go. From CBC Canada, Canadian media, and other sources, a report covering the true devastation in Indonesia. But there is much more to this event than almost anyone, again, wants to believe or even consider. Here's the headline. Triple hit, Indonesian island earthquake, tsunami, volcano. The death toll in last Friday's earthquake, a week ago Friday, and tsunami on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi has risen to nearly 1,600, with thousands of people injured and more than 70,000 displaced. Officials fear the death toll will rise. On Wednesday, a volcano erupted on the same central island, spewing ash more than 6,000 meters into the sky, adding to the fear and uncertainty forced on residents and faced by residents. Question, is it possible that there are environmental modification weapons of mass destruction that are far more powerful than almost any, again, want to consider, let alone believe? Weapons that are the crown jewel of the power structure, because populations who they are used against would never know that they are under attack by anyone or anything but nature. But is there much more to this story? Yes, there is. Let's consider some facts presented in a GeoengineeringWatch.org report titled, "Are Microwave Transmission Weapons of Mass Destruction Being Used to Trigger Catastrophic Earthquakes?" Please follow me through with these facts. Facts from internationally recognized and acclaimed institutions. Not that I condone these institutions, but they are considered the horse's mouth in the science world. From MIT Technology Review.com, in fact. This is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. This alarming report on the unexplainable extreme heating of the atmosphere directly above the 2011 Japanese earthquake epicenter. Let's look at some previous examples. And by the way, for those that don't know what an ionosphere heater is, most people have heard of HARP. That is only one of perhaps nearly 100 large ground-based, extremely powerful ionosphere heaters, and there are other smaller installations besides those. The atmosphere is being microwaved to a degree that is far beyond shocking. These massively powerful ground-based installations can bounce signals off of the now electrically conductive atmosphere, electrically conductive because of the heavy metal particles that are being dispersed from aircraft into the atmosphere, so they can bounce these signals off the atmosphere and back down into Earth's strata. What happens if you microwave something long enough? What happens if you put something in your microwave oven and leave it there too long? It blows up. Heat expands. That energy has to have somewhere to go. And it is scientifically proven that such transmissions can and do cause seismic activity in a seismically sensitive zone, i.e., can cause earthquakes. Please follow me through this chain of reports, the first one starting from MIT. Here's the report. Atmosphere above Japan heated rapidly before M9 earthquake. Report states this: infrared emissions above the epicenter increased dramatically in the days before the devastating earthquake in Japan, say scientists. The report continues. Ecologists have puzzled over the anecdotal reports of strange atmospheric phenomena in the days before big earthquakes, but good data to back up these stories has been hard to come by. Again, this is all from MIT. Atmospheric monitoring stations in earthquake zones and a number of satellites are capable of sending back data about the state of the upper atmosphere and the ionosphere heaters I just explained, during an earthquake. Before the M9 earthquake of 2011 in Japan, the total electron content of the ionosphere increased dramatically over the epicenter, reaching a maximum 3 days before the quake struck. And it's important to remember, these ground-based ionosphere heaters, when that energy is transmitted into the ionosphere, it causes an electrical chain reaction, superheating the ionosphere. The dominoes start to fall. It is a very non-linear equation, causing, again, a chain reaction. The report from MIT continues. At the same time, satellite observations showed a big increase in infrared emissions from above the epicenter of the Japanese quake, which peaked in the hours just before the quake. In other words, the atmosphere was heating up. Data from the Demeter spacecraft showed a significant increase in ultra-low frequency radio signals, exactly what's put out from the ionosphere heaters, by the way, before the magnitude 7 Haiti earthquake in January 10. Also, a second instance mentioned by the MIT report. Same scenario, anomalous atmospheric heating in the epicenter zone, directly above the epicenter in the days prior to the quake. Why aren't academic institutions sounding the alarm? Because they are paid not to. The GeoengineeringWatch.org report continues. After the Haiti quake, the U.S. military moved in and occupied the country. Problem, reaction, solution. In addition, the long-drawn-out Clinton Foundation reconstruction debacle began. The following year, a deadly earthquake struck Christchurch, New Zealand. Many circumstances surrounding this disaster were also very troubling. Question: did U.S. officials know the earthquake was coming? Here are some excerpts from a report on the disaster. 9 members of U.S. Congress were in Christchurch for a summit meeting on February 21st and 22nd, but left Christchurch 2.5 hours before the earthquake hit and relocated to Wellington, even though the meeting they were attending was not due to finish until the evening of February 22nd. The U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, was supposed to be visiting Christchurch and speaking at the summit meeting February 22nd, but on February 18th, Napolitano announced she was canceling her visit. The Deputy Administrator of FEMA, U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency, Timothy Manning, just happened to be in Christchurch at the time with the U.S. delegation. All of the rest of the delegation left Christchurch shortly before the quake hit, except for Mr. Manning, who stayed behind, and then after the quake hit, he assisted with directing the emergency response. Very convenient. Exactly the same thing happened with FEMA delegates with the Haiti earthquake. In Haiti, the FEMA delegates just happened to be there at the time, conducting training exercises for responding to major earthquakes. What a coincidence, isn't that? How many times do we see this over and over, that an exercise for a certain catastrophe just happens to be occurring at the time the catastrophe occurs? How many red flags do we need? How many? Let me continue, because there's more. Though the science community is desperately trying to link pre-quake atmospheric heating to some unknown phenomenon of an atmospheric coupling with the pressure buildup in the strata, is this a rational conclusion? The much more logical and straightforward conclusion, based on the premise of Occam's razor, is this. The atmospheric heating is being intentionally created by the global network of ionosphere heaters as immense microwave signals are bounced off the atmosphere and back down into the planet. Unfortunately, the science community is not allowed to even consider this possibility, let alone to talk about it. In the period preceding the decimating Japanese earthquake, U.S.-Japanese relations were very strained. Japan was starting to ally with its regional partners. The post-quake scenario of U.S.-Japanese relations seemed to suddenly be unquestionable. Was there a connection? Japan immediately realigned with the U.S. policy after the quake. Was the catastrophic quake, again, just a natural event or an engineered warning to Japan? One more addition to that potential conclusion. General Albert Stubblebine, 2-star U.S. Army general, whom I was friends with before he died and communicated extensively with before he died, told me that his contacts in the Pentagon told him that the quake was intended, that Fukushima and the disaster there was not intended. When you trigger a 9.0 earthquake, bad things happen. And when you have the Stuxnet virus, thanks to the United States and Israel, that disabled the safety equipment at Fukushima, how could it not happen? Perhaps General Stubblebine was not given the whole truth, but he was told, and he told me, that the quake was in fact intended. And all the data lines up. All of it lines up. How can you have institutions like MIT acknowledging completely anomalous, completely unexplainable, radical atmospheric heating directly above the epicenter, which they have no answer to? And why are they not sounding the alarm on that? Again, because they're paid not to. Let me continue. From ScienceDirect.com, this peer-reviewed study titled Pre-Seismic Ionospheric Anomalies of the 2013 Pakistan Earthquake. Conclusion, in this paper, the seismo-ionospheric anomalies are investigated from several satellite sources, and the data showed an enhancement of the ionosphere on September 21st, 2013, 3 days prior to the earthquake. Yet another glaring red flag in the devastating Pakistan quake. Pakistan starting to pull back from U.S. policy, U.S. hegemonic dictatorial policy. And what happens to Pakistan? Same atmospheric heating. Moving on the 13th of November 2016, another catastrophic earthquake struck near Christchurch, New Zealand. The list of troubling questions surrounding this earthquake is long. Below are some quotes from a seismologist, Anna Kaiser, who is one of the investigators of the 2016 New Zealand earthquake. From this seismologist, this quote, "We don't know what we're dealing with right now." She continues, "We need to figure out what was going on before and after the 7.5 magnitude quake." Kaiser went on to say this, "We're working very hard. This is looking quite complex. The epicenter was possibly just south of the Hope Fault, but it did look like, quote, something else was going on." What was that something else? More atmospheric heating. The seismologist's statements are only the beginning. There are many more concerning factors surrounding the 2016 New Zealand earthquake that should be considered. Here's a few of those points to consider. In spite of the unfolding U.S. election circumstances, which was happening at the exact same time, in the days before the latest New Zealand quake, John Kerry first went to Christchurch, where the quake occurred, and then on to McMurdo Station in Antarctica. The stated purpose of Kerry's visit, again, while the elections were happening here in the U.S., very strange time for Kerry to make this trip. The stated purpose for Kerry's visit was to examine the effects of global warming and the record low sea ice in Antarctica. But this trip at this time was criticized by many. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry was scheduled to head back to New Zealand after checking out summer ice in Antarctica. Kerry was criticized for heading to such a remote place while the U.S. election was riveting the world. Kerry tweeted a photograph of himself boarding a C-17 cargo plane in Christchurch saying, "Headed to Antarctica to see firsthand some of the drastic effects of climate change," end quote. The report continues, "Though Antarctic sea ice and global sea ice are at record-shattering low levels at that time, and now still, why else might John Kerry go to McMurdo Station at, again, that exact window of time just prior to the New Zealand quake? Could the ionosphere heater, i.e. microwave transmission facility, in McMurdo be a factor?" Kerry returned to Christchurch from Antarctica and then promptly and conveniently departed only hours before the catastrophic earthquake struck. Yet again, an example of top U.S. officials leaving the disaster zone literally hours before the disaster struck. And having just come from Antarctica for a very anomalous visit at a very perplexing time, a location that contains and houses and facilitates an ionosphere heater that's closest to New Zealand, flies back to New Zealand and departs hours before the catastrophe hits. This statement below is from CBS News. John Kerry had left the country again before the earthquake struck and had just landed in Singapore on his way to Oman when the news of the quake was reported. Is it just a coincidence that U.S. officials again always seem to safely depart quake impact zones just prior to the event? Back to the recent deadly disaster in Indonesia. One must always consider the relationship the devastated country had with the U.S. One must consider what geopolitical issues are unfolding. One must consider all the potential pieces to the puzzle. On that note, let's consider this recent headline report. Indonesia looks to China as it tries to deal with trade pressure from the U.S. A headline was prior to the recent cataclysms in Indonesia. There is indeed much to consider. How can the unfolding and accelerating biosphere collapse be more effectively covered up for as long as possible? From multiple sources, this alarming but not surprising report, EPA to dissolve the Office of Science Advisor. As a part of a broader reorganization, the EPA will eliminate the science advisor role created to counsel acting EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler. Critics fear the move is further demotion of science research. It's an attempt to plug any leaks in the ship. Just get rid of as many science advisors, committees, employees as you can to help cover the tracks of the type of insanity I just described. Because people in the system know. I had a NOAA scientist regarding climate engineering say to my face, "We all know what's going on. We don't know what to do. We have no First Amendment protection. And now there's a federal, illegal federal gag order on all NOAA and National Weather Service employees." NOAA's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Gagging the nation's weathermen. Trying to plug leaks in the ship any way they can. That's what our government is doing. Now, more than ever, the insanity is completely out of control. Follow me through. These dots all connect. From truthout.org, this new report about a factor geoengineeringwatch.org has reported on since the inception of our site nearly a decade ago. How feedback loops are driving runaway climate change, and climate engineering, of course, driving those feedback loops as well. Something that this site will not mention, unfortunately. The author of this particular article, Dar Jamal, whom I have communicated with and whom years ago, several years ago, told me he would address the geoengineering issue, which he has not. He has not. Simply a bad career decision for him, and he knows it, so he refuses to address it, and I hope that changes. But the feedback loops that he is referencing are real, a factor, and must be considered. If this makes the scenario we face as non-linear as it could be, people think you can look backward at 200 years of disintegrating biosphere functions and that it will take another few hundred years for that disintegration to advance twice as far. That's not the case. Everything accelerates. Once you start the dominoes falling, the acceleration of feedback loops make the equation unimaginably nonlinear. From this report, the simplest explanations for a positive climate feedback loop is this. The more something happens, the more it happens. Listen carefully to that. It's very simple. The more something happens, the more it happens. It feeds on itself. The more heating we have, the more heating we will have because of the triggering of feedback loops, climate engineering making it far worse, not better. A primary example I've given over and over for many years is methane release. Formerly frozen methane hydrate deposits on the seafloor and in tundra heat, thaw, release, go into the atmosphere, start covering the planet like a layer of glass, more heating, thus more methane releases, and it starts to accelerate. Very simple, very easy to understand. Melting ice, that is Earth's reflectivity, Earth's temperature regulator. The more the ice melts, the more the ice will melt. And the oceans that have ice, the Arctic Ocean, the ice reflects 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. When the ice is gone, 90% of that energy is absorbed by the dark ocean, which makes the ice melt even faster. And climate engineering, in the attempt to slow that down or hide it from the public, blocking the sun, is also trapping the heat, heating the oceans. Now the ice is melting from below as well. Climate engineering doing nothing but harm. There is no benevolence in climate engineering. In fact, the single greatest threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. Moving on. From multiple sources, this report on record heat in Alaska from the Capital Weather Gang site. A massive historical high pressure zone is bringing freakishly nice weather. And nice weather just means record warmth. It's not nice to have balmy temperatures in Alaska when they should be freezing. That's not nice weather. And people who think it's nice have no consideration for the overall life support systems of the planet. From this report, Alaska is experiencing some of the sunniest, warmest, driest weather it has ever seen. Temperatures have remained above normal for 32 straight days. It's hardly rained. Some like it, the report quotes, while others, concerned about what it might signify, are terrified. And they should be terrified. Another report. From USA Today, this recent report that further confirms rapidly rising nighttime low temperatures. Again, as greenhouse gases build up in the planet, and for those who deny this, you're simply refusing to look at reality. We live in a fishbowl. What we put into the atmosphere doesn't magically float out into space. It stays here. It's very simple. No, I don't like Al Gore, and yes, carbon credits are a sham, but that does not change reality. And climate engineering making it worse still, covering the atmosphere with reflective particles that also trap heat. They trap more heat than they deflect. How is that helping global warming? Answer, it's not. It's not. It's making it far worse. And it's not just about It's not about helping global warming. It's about hiding it with chemical ice nucleation. I'll get to that in a moment. But all of these factors, pounding the nails into our collective coffins, if you will. Back to this report from USA Today on nighttime low temperatures. And that's why the nighttime low temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime highs, because the heat can't escape. Report is titled, "Don't Sleep on This. Summer nights were the hottest on record." Report states this: this summer's nighttime temperatures, when averaged nationwide for June, July, and August, were the hottest ever in the U.S., recorded at 16.9 degrees. That's from last week. Hottest ever nighttime low temperatures, something most people don't even think about, but they should. Final statement from this report: every state in the U.S. had an above average summer minimum temperature. Every state. From the Miami Herald and numerous other sources, this new report on the spreading devastation from highly toxic algae blooms. Now, they are spreading up the Atlantic coast. So to be clear, previously the massive die-offs and the algae blooms, as I've reported on in previous broadcasts, were devastating Florida's west coast. Now, the east coast is also being hit hard. Here are the headlines. Florida confirms toxic red tides spreading along Atlantic coast. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officials confirmed Wednesday that the algae that caused red tide have now turned up along the state's more densely populated east coast. This will continue. It's not just the nitrates. It's the fact that bodies of water all over the globe are superheating. That causes anoxic and hypoxic zones, low and no oxygen. It's not just seawater, but it's also bodies of fresh water superheating. Aquatic life is dying rapidly. That's the fact of the matter. The climate engineers continue to control the flow of rain. They decide where it will rain, where not, and how toxic that rain will be. On this subject, the following new report from multiple sources: driest ever September deepens Australia drought. From that report, the country's east coast has recorded less than a fifth of its typical rainfall. Less than 20%. Winter crops are failing, the report states. Another headline from multiple sources: how deadly is 50 degree heat? Australia's cities face the new reality of climate change. Again, climate engineering not mentioned in any of this. It's a major part of the equation, the single greatest part, but not the only part. When I say the single greatest part, what does that mean? Does it mean the majority of it? No, it means the single greatest individual factor. Every form of human activity that alters the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. The list of human activities that are damaging the planet is unimaginably long, and to ignore that is to ignore reality. That's not rational. If we take one single form of human activity, that's the single biggest piece of the puzzle. It's climate engineering. Single most destructive human endeavor ever launched by the human race. It is the single greatest threat we face, the most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. Must keep the entire picture in mind in order to stand on credible ground, which allows us to build bridges with academia that so far betrayed the human race and the entire web of life. And I realize jobs and pensions are at stake, but how much will those jobs and pensions matter if you're in academia? How much will they matter on a planet that doesn't support life? Answer: they won't. They won't. Stand up, band together so you can't be easily marginalized. Stand up and make your voices heard now. We don't have tomorrow. Back to this report in Australia. Buckle train tracks, grounded planes, melting asphalt, and massive blackouts. The dystopian vision of 50-degree cities is closer to reality every day. It's already happening, by the way. It's not close to reality, it's already happening. The report continues: with wildfires raging around the Arctic Circle, unprecedented heat waves in Northern Hemisphere, and record temperatures being set from Algeria to Canada, the world is getting inexorably hotter. And the combination of rising global temperatures with increasing urban density is proving deadly. Now 50 degrees Celsius, once only associated with places like California's Death Valley or the desert wilderness of Oman and Iraq, is an increasingly frequent occurrence. Another headline from Yahoo News and other sources: Climate changing faster than feared. But why are we surprised? We should not be surprised. I've stated over and over at geoengineeringwatch.org for many years, there will come a point when the severity of what's unfolding can no longer be hidden. That's happening now. Another headline from numerous sources. Climate scientists are struggling to find the right words for very bad news. Excerpt from that report. A much-awaited report from the UN's top climate science panel, the IPCC, will show an enormous gap between where we are and where we need to be to prevent dangerous levels of warming. It's too late. We passed the point of no return perhaps two decades or more ago. That doesn't mean we can't salvage some part of Earth's life support systems. What it means is that the planet we have known is done, gone, and it's not coming back in any time frame that matters. That doesn't mean we give up. It means we fight to save what we can. That's what it means. Another headline, a reminder of this recent headline from the UK Independent and other sources. Climate change may be escalating so fast it could be, quote, game over, scientists warn. From that report, new research suggests the Earth's climate could be more sensitive to greenhouse gases than thought. That's a given. Raising the specter of an apocalyptic side of bad temperature rise of more than 7 degrees C, here's the lie, within a lifetime. Not within a lifetime. On the current trajectory, perhaps by 2025, if we stay on this course, and we are likely already past 3.5 degrees C now. Temperatures are being falsified radically to the downside, not the upside. It's far warmer than we're being told already. What are the paid disinformation actors of the power structure controlled weather channel hyping up in recent days? They are trumpeting the winter weather that has just occurred from former record warmth. How does this happen exactly? It's called climate engineering, using patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. We can see this on the radar, bands of far above normal, far above freezing temperature precipitation that just flashes out to frozen from chemical ice nucleation elements being dumped into that precipitation from aircraft above the clouds. That's how it happens. Don't believe me, though. Please don't believe me. Please actually investigate. There's a new category on geoengineeringwatch.org titled Engineering Winter on the top toolbar and in the right side article column. Do a thorough examination of the articles in that section. You will not like what you learn. Weather whiplash scenarios will continue to worsen as climate collapse and climate engineering further force the climate system into total disintegration. Weather systems like cyclones, aka hurricanes, will continue to be manipulated and utilized by the climate engineers as well. Moving on, is the current administration cutting back on climate engineering? No, they are not. They are doubling down on the climate engineering assault. Stay with me through the following new reports, and I'll connect these dots. From numerous sources, this new report. Trump administration sees 7-degree rise in global temperatures by 2100. That is a radically conservative estimate. We will be, in fact, 7 degrees Fahrenheit is what they're speaking about, which is about 4 degrees centigrade. We are already likely there, or very close to it, right now. Not 2100. From that report, last month, deep in a 500-page environmental impact statement, the Trump administration made a startling assumption from the Trump administration, hidden in their report. On the current course, the planet will warm a disastrous 7 degrees by the end of the century, much, much sooner. Almost there now. But the administration did not offer this dire forecast, premised on the idea that the world will fail to cut its greenhouse gas emissions, we know that, as part of an argument to combat climate change. Just the opposite. The analysis assumes the planet's fate is already sealed from the Trump administration. Another headline that further outlines the position of our so-called government and the current sock puppet that represents it, like all the former sock puppets that occupied the White House. This is a headline from the Rolling Stone, award-winning journalist Matt Taibbi. Here's the report headline. Why aren't we talking more about Trump's nihilism? Again, it's not about Trump. Trump's just an actor in the play, dangling at the end of strings. I don't care how convincing the theater is on TV that makes people think that somehow, I'm astounded at what I see people thinking about this president. I'm astounded at what they thought about Obama, about Clinton's, about Bush's, all simply actors in the play. From that report, the White House now says we might as well pollute because global catastrophe is inevitable. How hard is that to figure out? a White House, a current occupant of the White House, and his administration completely doubling down on geoengineering, completely supporting geoengineering, but yet publicly saying there's nothing wrong with the climate. That doesn't fit, does it? It's because climate engineering is their tool to wage weather warfare around the globe and to try to mask the severity of what's unfolding by engineering winter events, as I just described, using patented processes of chemical ice nucleation to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of climate disintegration until the last possible moment. Biosphere implosion pushes power structure desperation. Let me weave a few dots together. The demonization of Iran is a case in point. Iran is demonized because Iran refuses to cooperate with the central bankers, the central banking cabal I mentioned earlier, that controls the U.S. Iran has the resources the central banking cabal wants and that their military juggernaut needs, just like the other Middle Eastern countries that have already been toppled, I've talked about in broadcast after broadcast. Case in point on this front, U.S. terminates 1955 Treaty of Amity and Economic Affairs with Iran, preparing for conflict. Explaining the move, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo once again slammed the Islamic Republic, calling it a threat to American missions in the Middle East. And what is that mission? I just described it. It's all about empire. It's all about resources. It's all about forcing countries to continue using the dollar. If we consider all the reports that I just covered, what should we expect from a completely out-of-control power structure that's being backed into a corner due to rapidly accelerating climate and biosphere implosion? Desperate and dangerous are descriptions that fit. Since the U.S. proxy war in Syria with the use of U.S.-supported terrorist groups is failing, consider this new report from the Duran.com and other sources. U.S. switching to Ukraine as location to start World War III, the final card of a power structure in total desperation. The United States government is now treating Ukraine as if it were a NATO member. On September 27th, donated to the Ukrainian government two warships for use against Russia. This is the latest indication that the U.S. is switching to Ukraine as the locale to start World War III and from which nuclear war is to be sparked against Russia, which borders Ukraine. The report continues, if the American people cannot first overthrow the U.S. regime and establish an authentic democracy here, then World War III seems likely the result, which would be an outcome far worse for the entire world than the overthrow of the government that the entire world considers to be by far the most dangerous on Earth. Another headline from Sputnik News. All these dots connect. Continue to follow me through. From SputnikNews.com and other sources, this new report, which is a corroboration of the reports I've just covered on previous broadcasts as well. Russia says U.S. boosting number of biolabs close to it. Pentagon denies accusation. The United States is consistently increasing its biological potential and control of national collections of pathogenic microorganisms, not only in the former Soviet republics, on the Soviet boundaries. What if Russia was setting up biolabs in Tijuana and across the border in Canada? What would we do? But that's what we're doing there. That's what we're doing near other superpowers like China. What would we do? How much hypocrisy can we stand here in the U.S. while this is going on around the world, where our government is pushing us toward World War III? The report continues, more than 30 U.S.-controlled biolabs with high levels of biological protection are functioning and being constantly modernized today, which has been confirmed by official UN data. Another headline that connects to this from RT.com and other sources, this dire report on the same theme. Defensive bioweapon. The U.S. government wants insects to spread genetically modified viruses to, quote, save crops. Really? To save crops? Is anybody going to buy that from this report? A U.S. military program dubbed Insect Allies could be used as a biological weapon. A group of European scientists warn. The Pentagon's research arm claims they are indeed to defend crops, but doesn't deny the dual-use potential. The question is not whether the programs can be weaponized. They already are. All these dots connect. Preparations are being made for final cards to be played. The completely desperate and completely out of control U.S. government using genetically modified mosquitoes to carry pathogens to infect populations. How do we know that's not already going on here in our country as well? Answer, we don't know. It seems it may be. Why would we think otherwise when we know how many biological tests the U.S. government, U.S. military has carried out on U.S. civilians already. I've covered that broadcast after broadcast, using nature as a weapon yet again, not just the weather, but now insects as well. How many are still blindly clinging to the illusion that the current occupant of the White House is going to, quote, magically make America great again? Really, how exactly is this being done, or going to be done? By further funding the completely out-of-control military-industrial complex? By pushing us all toward the final global conflict? By virtually gutting any and all environmental protections in order to carry out the bidding of the corporate fascist regime that all occupants of the White House are tasked with serving? Will America be made great again by further escalating the planetary looting, plundering, and pillaging of Earth's rapidly dwindling natural resources and collapsing ecosystems? Is America going to be made great again by the further ramping up of the climate engineering, weather warfare, aka biological warfare insanity that's actually being waged by our own government against our own population? Is all of this how America is going to be made great again? And let's ask this question. How many from the other side of the political power structure orchestrated political divide bought into the Barack Obama, quote, change we can believe in lie of total delusion? Barack Obama, the occupant of the White House that was a participant in the destabilization and overthrow of Ukraine. Barack Obama that is the undisputed king of killing innocent civilians in the Middle East with drones, and yet the power structure awards him the Nobel Peace Prize. We live in an insane asylum. How many blindly wave their flags for the Bushes, the Clintons, and other power structure puppets? How many bought into the Clintons' lies? Why isn't Hillary Clinton in jail? Why not, Mr. Trump? You said you would put her there. That's where she belongs. Yet you mention it not. When will it occur to the majority of the American population on both sides of the manufactured political spectrum, on all sides of the spectrum, that the entire political theater is a grand facade? When will the masses wake to realize that the whole political paradigm is manufactured and fed to populations in order to fuel division and distraction, in order to be sure the majority of the population gets caught up in the manufactured drama and thus is completely oblivious to the wider horizon? The planet is dying by the day, and the collapse of industrialized, militarized society is now not only imminent, but already unfolding. The mainstream media weapon of mass distraction continues to be a primary tool of those in power to propagate all the scenarios I have already described, keeping the passengers busy arranging deck chairs on the Titanic, oblivious to the fact that the ship is sinking and that they will soon all die if they do not face reality. Each and every one of us is needed to stop the ongoing decimation being inflicted on Earth's remaining life support systems. Short of this, all better start looking for something to stay afloat on, because, again, the ship is going down. That's the fact of the matter. Alarmism? No. Those who are still trying to convince themselves that everything is fine won't be able to maintain their denial for much longer. All who are awake and aware are needed to help sound the alarm. But remember and consider this: blindly sharing anything from anyone or any source that has an opinion on what is happening in our world and our skies does not necessarily help in the fight for the greater good or the cause of exposing and halting climate engineering. Consider that circulating non-factually based sensationalized claims from sources that specialize in sensationalism does great harm to the anti-climate engineering cause. Sharing credible data from a credible source helps the cause. Without credibility, without bridges being built with academia and agency people who are still currently hiding in the shadows, we will have no chance of prevailing in this battle. Credibility is key. Question: do we have any chance at all of turning this tide, of salvaging any part of Earth's remaining life support systems? Consider this quote from one of the wisest of the wise to ever walk among us. If one advances confidently in the direction of their dreams and endeavors to live the life which they have imagined, they will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. From Henry David Thoreau. So many of his writings, of his words, circulate through my mind. Always. It's not over. We're not yet beaten. I dream of this, a living planet in which the population remembers and regards the fact that they are part of something bigger than themselves. They're part of a whole, a web of life on which all of our lives absolutely depend. So long as a single tree stands and lives, a single frog, a bird, a bee, a bear, a dragonfly, so long as anything lives, we must fight on. We must never yield. We must never surrender. We must remember and embrace our part in the play to stand against the insanity that has pushed us to this dark hour that we find ourselves in. Collectively, we could yet accomplish profound good, even at this late hour, but it will take all of us. Stand up, make your voice heard. Tomorrow will be too late. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.